It is the best time of year if you're in Tucson, Arizona. It's officially March Madness. That's where what we are going to be talking about on today's episode of the Wildcast Podcast. We'll be talking all things U of A hoops. We'll take a quick recap and look back on Arizona's Big 12 Tournament Championship, talk about what they did in Kansas City. We'll also talk about their upcoming matchup as the number one seed out west, taking on the Long Island Sharks. And it's going to be a fun conversation. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and comment the Wildcast Podcast on Apple and Spotify. I'm here with my guys, Michael Lev, senior writer and columnist for Tucson.com and the Arizona Daily Star, and U of A basketball expert, Bruce Pasco, the U of A basketball beat writer for Tucson.com. Fellas, thank you for joining us, or thank you for joining me. I know it's a busy time of year for everybody. And before we talk about March Madness, let's talk about some very exciting news, guys. So we've been doing well over 500 episodes of this podcast. I remember, heck, I wasn't even part of the first one. The first one was like a test pod with my guy Lev and Zach Rosenblatt, who's now doing a great job covering the New York Jets out there in New York. So I wasn't even a part of the first Wildcast episode, but I've been a part of hundreds of these episodes, and we've never had a sponsor. We are the Wildcats presented by nobody. I felt like Ernie Johnson inside the NBA, the neato stat of the night, brought to you by nobody. And they're always chasing that sponsor. Well, we finally got the sponsor, and that is Pima Federal Credit Union. A huge thank you to the people behind the scenes at the Arizona Daily Star, marketing, advertisement. They were able to get this deal done. And shout out to Pima Federal Credit Union for thinking that we are worth a damn. You know, we are worth, you know, spending some extra dollars on us. They like our product. They like what we do. And we appreciate Pima Federal Credit Union for taking a chance on this podcast and also Tucson.com. So moving forward, Pima Federal Credit Union is the official sponsor of the Wildcast Podcast. And we're going to be singing their praises, talking about all the great things that Pima Federal Credit Union does. Whether you're saving for your first car, buying a home, or growing your business, Pima Federal Credit Union puts your goals first. They offer personalized solutions, competitive rates, and expert guidance every step of the way. Because at Pima Federal, banking isn't just about money, it's about you. Learn more by visiting pimafederal.org. Lev, how about that?
Yeah, all I got to say is this.
Round of applause.
I'm very excited about this. Justin dropped the news on us earlier today that Pima Federal Credit Union would be sponsoring our podcast. This is an endeavor that we've poured a lot of time and equity into over the last several years, and just very excited to have a sponsor at Long. Yeah. We will try to live up to their investment in us.
Absolutely. And we're still always open for other sponsors. If you want to be a part of the podcast, Tucson.com, whatever, you know, Pima Federal Credit Union, not only will you hear a lot of, you know, us sponsoring or us talking about them and all the great things that they're doing, you're going to see their logos. You're going to see their ads on the pages of the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson.com. They're going to have a very strong presence with us, and we're very thankful for Pima Federal Credit Union. And that means if you're following our March Madness coverage, you're going to be seeing Pima Federal Credit Union a lot. And you're going to be seeing a lot of coverage here in the next couple of weeks from my guys, Lev, Bruce Pasco. We got NCAA Tournament, March Madness. Arizona is the eighth team in program history to receive a number one seed. They'll go out west and play against Long Island in San Diego, a place that the Wildcats are very familiar with, not just this year with Arizona football going out there for the Holiday Bowl, but Arizona basketball has played in the San Diego area many, many times in the past.
Do you think that Tommy Lloyd is going to write one of those notes to get people out of work on Friday? You know, sometimes teams will do that. Should. With the game being at 10:35 a.m. I feel like that is something that they should do if they haven't thought of it already.
I know.
Yeah. So. It does matter to him. I mean, 4 years ago they played in San Diego, but they played the second game in that they usually do two games at a time, and then there's a break, and then tickets come in for the second two games. they played the second game of a little mini pod there, and the security was so ineffective they couldn't clear, or was too much or whatever, and then there was, you know, it was kind of post-COVID at that point, whatever, there's huge delays people getting in. UVA fans couldn't get in, and they actually got down, struggled early playing Wright State in that first game, and he was not happy about that. The UVA fans weren't there. And then also you may have saw, like, when they play UCF in Kansas City on the Thursday last week, virtually nobody in the building at all, hardly, and he was not happy about that either, and made a complaint about, you know, U of A fans waiting to go to San Diego, not showing up. And as a result, now Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, is talking about trying to get nonstop flights from Tucson to Kansas City next March so fans can get there easier. We'll see. But anyway, those things do matter. And you're right. So I don't know that.
Brett Yormark did the old Pawn Stars treatment. He's like, I can't put the tournament in Las Vegas, but what I can give you, direct flights from Tucson to Kansas City.
That's exactly it. I mean, they're contracted here till 2031. I mean, that's not going to budge. I don't know if there's any kind of buyout situation, but yeah. And you know, there's obviously pressure why they were there in the first place, not only from Kansas City, but those three kind of legacy Big 12 teams, I think you call them, that probably want to make sure it stays there.
Yeah. Well, it's a really good segue, Bruce, into the conference tournament. Before we, you know, have an early look at Long Island and, you know, Arizona's path to Indianapolis, which a place they are very fond of, considering that's where they cut down the nets in 1997. Fun fact, the last West Coast team to win a national championship, the 1997 Arizona Wildcats. Ever since then, it's all been Central Time Zone or East Coast, which is crazy. But guys, I mean, the Big 12 tournament was in Kansas City. Bruce, you know, I've always said this, it'd be nice to see Arizona, or nice to see Arizona play in a conference tournament in Las Vegas, but I think Kansas City is a nice environment, right? I mean, I felt like there were a decent amount of fans there from other teams, and I think the Big 12, they try to make it a fan-friendly event. Like, they brought in DJ Khaled, they brought in, you know, a lot of other things. I felt like the Big 12 tournament was a success this year, despite the whole debacle with the court.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. I mean, the thing with they had a lot of the same peripheral stuff that they did in Las Vegas. The difference is that it's Las Vegas. So, you know, if I think that's the attraction too for fans, is like, if you're going to book for a conference tournament, you don't want to have to leave on Friday if your team loses on Thursday. But if you're in Las Vegas and Arizona loses on Thursday, there's still a million things for you to do. And in Kansas City, there's some great museums and stuff, and there's some certainly great barbecue and good restaurants, but it's a Midwestern city. It's just not Las Vegas. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit there. And I think Tommy's point, and I think he was accurate in this, is that, you know, if you've only got the time and the money to go to one weekend in the postseason, and you live in Tucson or Phoenix or whatever, are you going to go to San Diego or Kansas City? It's not even like a decision for most people. So I think that was a factor.
Yeah. I just, I was paying attention from Hawaii, and I noticed that, you know, there was a decent amount of Arizona fans there, but not like what we've seen in the past with Las Vegas.
No. And especially that Friday game against Iowa State, there were some of the Arizona fans that showed up, but it was clearly like a Hilton South situation. I think it was almost a little beyond what Arizona would have in the best situations in Las Vegas. And if it was like UCLA, Arizona, and T-Mobile, it would be, you know, 65% Arizona fans maybe, or something, 60%, and then 30% UCLA, and then 10% whatever. And here it seemed like it was 80% Iowa State, maybe 8% of U of A, and then a couple random people still. It was loud, and, you know, I use earplugs or AirPods or something if it gets super loud, and I don't usually have to do that for neutral games, but that Iowa State game, I did have to put them in. It was just too loud.
So I was going to say, what was that reaction like when Jaden Bradley knocked down that crazy shot, which, by the way, one of the best shots in Arizona basketball history. I mean, when you turn on the tape, when you look at Jaden Bradley's career, that shot right there, he's had some really good moments, but that shot, number one, that's the play of his Arizona career.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's, it's crazy because his career has all been about the subtlety and the way he's setting guys up and the defense. I mean, his sophomore year, how efficient he was off the bench, but nobody really paid attention. I mean, Kylan Boswell was the starter back then. Like, you know, he's just not been, but then this year you've seen him evolve into take, you know, that big go-to role when needed. And certainly UCLA and UConn, he played a big, made some big plays at the end of those games. And then, you know, and various times this year, and then Iowa State was just, you know, that was really something. And, you know, so, and that in that moment, yeah, that was the Iowa State environment, but every single U of A fan obviously was going crazy when that happened, and all the Iowa State fans were silenced. So that was, you know, that was something else to see it kind of turn around that way. I mean, I will say that, yeah, the U of A fans who came were tremendous. There just wasn't that many of them. In fact, one of the guys who I talked to was sitting, got seats pretty close in. He was from Las Vegas. I'm like, wait, what are you doing here? I don't know, but you know, it was worth it for those fans who made the trip.
You guys would know more about this than I would, but Greg Hansen did a list of, in his opinion, the top three shots in Arizona men's basketball history, and he put that one number one, followed by Craig McMillan's McMiracle at McHale in 1986, which I guess involved Steve Kerr throwing a long pass down the court, deflection. McMillan makes a layup. They beat Oregon State, which was really good at that time. And then he had Salim Stoudemire making a jumper against Oklahoma State in 2005 Sweet 16 in Chicago. I was a little surprised he didn't put Caleb Love's shot on there. I don't know, maybe the stakes weren't quite as big for that. But one of the things I thought of in the wake of Jaden Bradley's shot was, man, poor Iowa State. Like every time, almost every time they face Arizona, like they're giving up some sort of ridiculous shot that, you know, turns the tide in the Wildcats' favor. And that was another one, to be sure. That was a moment right there.
I was going to say, is Dwayne Erstode next year or Ivan Karchenkov? They just have one guy that's just the Iowa State boogeyman every year. But you know, just as far as Arizona as a team, I mean, they go into the NCAA tournament, guys, 32-2. It is the most wins by an Arizona team going into the tournament. And on top of that, Arizona, they won the Big 12 regular season championship. Cool. They also won the Big 12 tournament championship. So they double down on being the Big 12 champs. They are the Big 12 champs outright, which says a lot because this conference has eight teams in the tournament right now. And we could be talking about three of these teams maybe going to the Final Four, right, between Arizona, Iowa State, and Houston. So I think for Arizona to go into the tournament, I mean, sprinting through the finish line, they are not stumbling. They are playing some really good basketball right now. But also at the same time, the fact that they have played a number of games against some really good opponents, and we know that that's not their A game. Free throw shooting could be a lot better. There have been moments where, you know, they could do better shooting the ball, but this is also an Arizona team that does a great job of cutting to the basket, finding mid-range shots, finding shots close to the basket. So I am not concerned with this Arizona team, really. I mean, of course, you could play a team that is just lights out from three-point range. That's just really the nature of the NCAA tournament. But to me, the way that Arizona has been able to win games, whether it's rock fight slugfest, whether it's high scoring games where it's back and forth, high level shot making like that game against Iowa State, Arizona, they're kind of like a chameleon. They just adapt to whatever is their surroundings. And to me, when you have that style, that kind of brand going into the tournament, I think that bodes well for you.
Yeah. And I think the Big 12 tournament was kind of showed you that. I thought those three games were all, they all kind of won them in a little bit different ways. You know, that first game, they had the kind of classic Arizona inside out. They did really well inside, and Burries kind of went off in that game as well. And then Iowa State, they, like, that was the game where they were getting rained on. I mean, the way that they were hitting threes, and then Arizona answered him, and, you know, Anthony Delorso rose up in that situation, and then Bradley hits the shot of the year probably. And then Houston, just the way they held off, you know, kind of adjusted that defense. And then a guy like Cole Pete, who was really suffocated by Iowa State, you know, on Friday, didn't have a great game, and he came back, had a great game against Houston. And they got other things and helped survive Jaden Bradley getting hurt in that game and just, you know, coming out with a win against a team until this year they'd never, you know, they'd always struggled with. So, you know, that bodes well too. I mean, honestly, you look at these things, you look at the way this team is built, and, you know, when you're looking at brackets and all that, that is kind of what you look at. At least, you know, can this team win in different ways? What matchups are going to hurt it? And it's hard to really identify that. With this team, I think if anything, what hurts them is history. And, you know, I don't know how much that they would pay attention to that, or if that is a factor at all, or, you know, but Arizona's had a hard time getting the Final Four in the last 25 years. So they had some teams that should have been there. But maybe this is the team that does it.
Yeah. I think Justin mentioned this earlier. But this is the eighth time that Arizona has been a number one seed. So that means seven times previously. Yeah. And they've made the Final Four only one time out of those seven. So one of the points I made in my column that is running in our special section that is part of Wednesday's print edition of the Daily Star, I made the point that being a number one doesn't guarantee anything, right? But it does set you up for success. And the NCAA has a whole big chart of you know, all of the seeds and how they've done over the years. And it definitely puts you in the best position. And last year, We had four number one seeds make it. And there's some analytics that would suggest that something like that conceivably could happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. And if nothing else, the getting the one seed basically gives you a free game. And I'm not saying LIU could play them really well. Who knows? But, you know, there's only been one 16 ever beat a one. So, you know, you hope if you're a number one seed that you at least can play your other players that game and kind of, and also you don't have the overwhelming pressure that you might have if you're a three playing a 14 or a four playing a 12 or whatever in that first game. You know, you can kind of ease into the tournament and then get ready, you know, for your second round. And then, you know, I think, and the stats show, like you said, Michael, it's, you get on the line 1, 2, 3 seed, whatever seed you have, the percentages go down. It does make a difference.
Oh man. University of Maryland, Baltimore County beating Virginia. That was one of those, where were you when it happened moments. Yeah. And Bruce and I, we were in the beautiful city of Boise, Idaho. That's how they call it there. Boise. We all call it Boise, but I'll never forget being there in Boise thinking, man, Sean Miller, DeAndre Ayton, those guys, they're off the hook now because they were kind of like the laughing stock of college basketball. Like, oh my gosh, look at these guys losing to Buffalo. How could you do that with the number one overall pick? And then the following day, Virginia ended up losing to UMBC.
Well, the people here haven't forgotten, unfortunately, what happened in that game against Buffalo. That's just like added to the long list of heartbreaking outcomes in the NCAA tournament over the past almost 25 years.
Yeah.
That year had a big asterisk by it, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, Bruce, I mean, you've been a part of that journey. You were there covering that national championship when they lost to Duke. And since then, you've seen the ups and downs of Arizona basketball. I mean, how would you weigh just kind of the disappointment of, you know, a season that could have been? And I'm looking at, you know, teams like the mid Sean Miller era, the 2014-15 teams, you know, the 2004-2005 Arizona team, where if they had just beaten Darren Williams and Luther Head and Illinois, they go on to win that national championship. It just seems like over the years, there have been so many really good Arizona teams that we think could win the national championship, and they just fall short. And you're there chronicling all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would think for like a national narrative, that's the story. Like, is this the team that can erase all this history? Because you're right. Yeah, 2005, that was insane. And not only what you're saying, I mean, it was hard that they had to play Illinois in suburban Chicago, which is what they were doing. But, you know, I think they were up 14 points with 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, something like that. I mean, it was an epic collapse. It was just
15 points with four minutes left.
Yeah, it was horrible. You know, and then you know, I think the 11 team, you know, that was, you know, I think everyone was happy that they just got to the Elite Eight and beat Duke. Frankly, I don't think that was any disappointment, but the 14 and the 15 teams were, were definitely Final Four worthy. I think that the year when Ashley got hurt was never, that was a team that could have won it all. And I think you could attribute some of that to that. And then some of it you can attribute to Wisconsin just getting ridiculous in the Elite Eight games both years. And Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, all you want to, that's why I think we talked about this before, Duke might be the team that Arizona fans dislike the most, but Wisconsin might be the team that makes Arizona fans the most nauseous. At least that's what I talked, and I talked a lot. I mean, literally, you just think about them. And that goes back to, I think,
2000, right?
2000, right. Yeah. They had a really good team that year, and Wisconsin beat them in the second round, I think. There's and a number of them. So there's been so many things from that aspect. And then certainly that year in Boise, that was a team that could have been a number one or number two seed, but that had that was the FBI year and all that stuff is going on, and it made it hard to really we made it really hard for them off the court to and then they ran into a tough underseeded Buffalo team and lost that game. That wasn't a number one seed, but yeah, there's been some others. And I think a little bit of disappointment from Arizona fans in 22, Tommy Lloyd's first year. They had that great team with those three NBA picks and number one seeded team that year, but because of the way it worked out, Gonzaga had the number one in the West. They were just barely above Arizona, so Arizona gets shipped to the South. Boom. All of a sudden, Arizona has to play Houston and San Antonio in the Sweet 16. And San Antonio underseeded once again and also getting to play pretty close to home. And that makes all the difference, a lot of the difference too. So, but there's been a lot of things, Justin. Yeah, it's a lot of history.
Well, fortunately, Wisconsin is nowhere near they are in the West.
They
are the five seed in the West. They very well could and meet up in the Sweet 16 in San Jose. Wisconsin, a lot of people think highly of High Point. So that, that's a 12-5 matchup. And then they've got Arkansas over there, which is a very dangerous team that, went deep and has a top five pick on its roster.
That's a bad man.
Our guy, John Calipari, Justin, Justin and I feel like we pick Kentucky about every other year, and then they like lose in the first round, and we're like, God, we're
every time, man.
But yeah, Wisconsin's in the West. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. They didn't factor any of that into a potential made for TV matchup with all sorts of storylines.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It does seem like there's something engineered behind it, but it is true that those second, third tier Big Ten teams, they got to ship them out of the region. And there's always spots in the West because there's just not as many good NCAA tournament teams in the West. So, there's always Big Ten teams in the West is what I'm saying, so just.
Plus, there are 18 Big Ten teams now.
Yeah.
So,
I was gonna say, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong. The last time Arizona played a tournament game in San Jose, was that the Laurie Markkanen year?
Yes. That was the year before the Boise year when they actually had an all California path to get to the Final Four as well. I believe that one was in San Diego the first two games too. And then they played at San Jose Sweet 16. Yeah. Against
Colorado City, I think, right?
Where was the Princeton game?
Sacramento. That was
Sacramento. Yeah. Okay.
23 in Sacramento. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Right. We're talking about other disappointments for Arizona. That would be one of them too. I mean, there's some stat. I think Markkanen didn't touch the ball for the last 8 minutes of that game or something like that.
Yeah.
And nobody knew he was going to be the NBA all-star that he has been, but I think it was pretty clear that he was an NBA talent and, maybe just wasn't a great fit on that team for the system or whatever. I don't know, but in any case, that was a really, really tough loss for them too.
Yeah. But I just, I love the fact that this field has storylines. And my guy Ali on Spears and Ali, he mentioned, you know, this could be kind of like a revenge tour of sorts for Arizona, because, you know, if they play Arkansas, it's revenge from the 1988 Final Four, where the Razorbacks knocked off Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr and the Wildcats. And of course, that was, you know, such a really good Arkansas team at that time, 40 minutes of hell. And and so, yeah, they could play Arkansas. And I would love to see that matchup between Darius Acuff and Jaden Bradley. I think that'd be must-see TV. Yeah. And then or, you know, you could also potentially play against Wisconsin. And they've got, you know, the history like you guys just mentioned. And then I love the idea. And I'm sure Tommy Lloyd is going to downplay it if the opportunity happens. But Arizona versus Gonzaga for a chance to go to a Final Four. Tommy Lloyd's first Final Four since leaving Gonzaga. I mean, he has avoided this matchup like the plague since he has gotten here. And now it's like there's nowhere to run, Tommy. The committee has pitted you guys together. Go out there and play your mentor for a chance to go to the Final Four. I love that.
Yeah. No, it's just a matter of time, really. I mean, the two of the best, arguably the best programs in the West. So, you know, when are they going to meet? I mean, I thought it was a good chance, you remember, back in 22, because Gonzaga was the number one in the West and Arizona was number one in the South. So, you know, I remember us talking about them. And I think Tommy said something along the lines of, you just can't think that far ahead or whatever. But the point is, something's usually going to happen that those kind of scenarios a lot of times don't play out. But this time it definitely could. Yeah, I mean, and that would, you know, the fifth year, to me, it seems like it's about time that this happens. He's been here 5 years. The program's, you know, at a high level. Gonzaga's still at a high level. Like, why would they not be playing each other for those kind of stakes?
Yeah, down on that side of the West, you've got Purdue as the two and Gonzaga as the three. Arizona played Purdue, I think it was two seasons ago, in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Really good game that Purdue ended up winning. A lot of those guys in that Purdue team are still here. That's like an old team. With a lot of guys that have stuck around, which is becoming a little bit more commonplace in college basketball. I think, Bruce, you referred to like the one seed having that kind of freebie game to start going up against a 16. The claim to fame for Long Island University is their head coach, Rod Strickland. And if I may, a little story time here. Rod Strickland is my favorite college basketball player of all time.
No way.
I grew up in Chicago. I was a huge, huge DePaul basketball fan in the 1980s. And Rod Strickland, of course, was the point guard for DePaul from 85 to 88 before becoming the first round pick of the Knicks, two-time All-American, like literally one of the greatest moments of my entire life. They're playing St. John's in the 1987 NCAA tournament. And they're down late in the game. And Dallas Comegys, who was one of Rod Strickland's teammates, intentionally missed a free throw. Rod Strickland got the ball, laid the ball up and in to tie the game. And then they went on to win that game in overtime. And I was probably 17 years old, maybe 16, like literally running around. It was my grandparents' house where I was living at the time, running around the house like a mad person. When that happened. And Rod Strickland went on to have a great and long NBA career. Kind of like, I would say for the youngsters out there, similar game to Kyrie Irving, like great handles, was never really a great outside shooter, but pure point guard, tons of creative finishes near the basket, went into coaching, and now he's, you know, led LIU to the NCAA tournament. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow. No, he has an interesting background. I've been looking. I haven't been able to talk to him, but hopefully we will on Thursday out there. But just how he went into development, and he's working with G League Ignite. And I think he was a staffer at Kentucky for a while. And it's interesting because, like, guys like him, and he kind of reminded me of Damon Stoudemire's path a little bit. Like, guys like him don't need to work. Like, you know, and like, what are they, do they really want to be in gym, little tiny gyms and, you know, Georgia and recruiting and stuff like this? But these guys, do of it. I think Damon went into coaching, but he's been in development. I think, you know, the story it sounds like is that he really something he's passionate about is just helping players get better. And he seems to be happy at this small, you know, low major school in the New York area. And, you know, it's really something. And then they they had a really good season this year. So it's a neat story. And again, I'm not saying you never know, this game could be, it could be something, but, and certainly it might be early because a lot of times these teams can throw out different looks that take Arizona a while to adjust to and all that. And, you know, so yeah, it's really interesting that they got that matchup.
He himself is a New Yorker too. He's from the Bronx originally. So I'm sure there was a little bit more appeal to coach at a school like that than there might've been for somebody else who wasn't from the New York area.
Was, by the way, going back to that game that he played against St. John's in the tournament.
Yeah.
Was Felipe Lopez, was he playing for St. John's then?
I feel like it was before.
Before
Felipe Lopez. Yeah. This is kind of the heart of the Big East old school days. You can find that footage on YouTube as you can most things. So you mentioned, Bruce, the open practice and locker room and press conferences and all that stuff that will happen Thursday. Would you say that will be the best opportunity to really figure out what might be going on with Jaden Bradley and his hand/wrist? When you get to see him out on the court.
Yeah. And I think the good thing is you can ask the players themselves, because I think part of it is, and they may not want to talk about it or whatever, but you know, Jaden was pretty upfront the other day about his finger. You know, I caught him in the locker room after the game, after the Houston game. And he said, yeah, it's just jammed up or, you know, whatever. And because it's tough sometimes with injuries, you know, you guys, I mean, these teams are all, they're all, a lot of them are like this. They don't want to say a lot, but a lot of times you can't even ask. If somebody got hurt, you can't even ask him because he's not going to be available. So you have to ask Tommy Lloyd, and he'll usually defer or whatever, you know, depends. So it's, yeah, that is a good opportunity. But I mean, to me, the main thing about the open locker rooms and is just that I think we can get into richer storytelling and a little more thought process about what the players are thinking or what they did, what happened, where, whatever. And because you can go to anybody, you know, generally anybody there, as opposed to most games, you just get two guys that they pick, and they're certainly key players, but they're not telling, you know, they're not everybody on the team. You might want to ask a different guy about a certain play that really made a difference. He's not gonna be available, but with the NCAA tournament, you can go talk to him and ask him what's up.
I think it bodes well that Jaden was able to come back into that game after injuring that wrist, right? Or you can just say, oh, that's simply adrenaline. And now that adrenaline has worn off, maybe that's a concern.
It does. Yeah, I mean, certainly. Right. A lot of times you've seen this, especially with like ankles, guys come back. In fact, Dell'Orso came back at Houston with the last few seconds or whatever, but he was hurt and that thing was swelling up. And then, so a lot of times guys will come back, make that heroic push for the end of a game. And then it swells up and gets worse. And that is a concern. But I asked, when they had come back, Tommy Lloyd was available to us Sunday. And at least at that point I said, hey, did it swell up? How does it look? And he said, he said everything is good to go or something like that. So we'll see, but you know, he has a lot of time. It's probably okay, but it is, you know, those things are always a little concern because you never know how they're going to react during the week. But
you know, I was going to say, I mean, because you guys talked about how that 16-1 game is that little tune-up game. Do you dare flirt with danger and just say, hey, Jaden, sit this one out. We can handle Braden playing point.
Well, that's exactly what happened in 22, I think it was, and they played. Yeah, it was 22. The first year, Tommy Lloyd, Kirk Risa had that high ankle sprain that he suffered in the Pac-12 tournament. Wasn't ready to come back. Wasn't even ready to come back against TCU 2 days later, but he did. But they didn't even like it was. You know, if that wasn't a 1-16 situation, and it was a an 8-9, then Risa might even try to play that game, but he did not. Because they wanted that 2 extra days rest, and then he came back on that Sunday Didn't play great, but he did help them out. You know, when they went to overtime with TCU.
Yeah, I noted in my five takeaways after that game that Jaden was not very effective after he came back in. I don't think he had a point or an assist. He had three turnovers, and it really seemed like they were like attacking him, you know, like digging at the ball, trying to bang that hand a little bit more. The other point I made was, you know, he had no time to get used to it at all. And the training staff, I mean, that's pretty, you know, they're moving pretty quickly to just try to patch him up and get him back out there. With the benefit of time, if it is any sort of issue, they can be like, hey, how does this feel? How does that feel? You know, hey, go practice with this and see how, you know, there'll be more time to get used to it if it is an issue at all. And it's his left hand versus his right hand, which, you know, as a point guard, any basketball player, you need both hands, but shooting wise, it really shouldn't be an issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, the Houston went at him. I mean, they go after everybody. He might have turned the ball over a couple of those times, were tough situations anyway, but I definitely noticed that. It's kind of like when Del Orso came back on that left ankle. They played at Baylor, and they were literally going after that his foot. It's just that stuff happens, you know, and I think that's part of why teams don't like to reveal injuries sometimes, because they feel like if a player's playing with that injury and he's kind of hurt, and the other team knows about it, they're gonna go after that particular area, the guy's body part. I mean, that's how it is out there.
Do we think that Villanova or Utah State, which is the 8-9 matchup, do we think either of those is a legitimate threat to Arizona in the second round? Justin, you're shaking your head. You don't think so.
I mean, hasn't Utah State they've kind of stumbled, right, to end the season, if I'm not mistaken?
They won the
They won the league tournament, right, to get in. Yeah. And the only Mountain West team to make it, right, which I think was caught a lot of people by surprise, because there was some – San Diego State was one, and New Mexico also, that were kind of in that bubble conversation. None of them ended up making it. Villanova coming out of a weakened Big East, right? The Big East wasn't quite as good. Does Ken Pom do conference ratings too?
Yeah.
Are you able to call that up and see what?
Yeah. You mean as far as the Mountain West?
No, where the Big East ranks this year.
Oh, gosh. Because, let's see here.
I mean, obviously they have UConn and St. John's at the top, but
Number five. Okay. You've got Big East 5, Mountain West 6.
Okay. So. All right. Big 12 1.
No, Southeast, but that's probably overall. And that's kind of what I thought about the Big 12, is that there's a drop off. You know, he got Big 10 actually, just slightly above Big 12. You know, that's just a top to bottom thing.
I think
you can argue the top 4 or 5 teams in the Big 12 are the best of any top, you know, group like that. But anyhow, I think, but to Justin's question, I don't know enough about them, but I think Utah State's got something. They play a pretty tricky. Well, yeah, I mean, they got some pretty good numbers going inside. They're looks like defensively they're pretty good at turning you over. I think their losses, they did stumble just looking at this. Yeah, lost at Nevada, at San Diego State, and at UNLV. I don't think any of those are super, super crime there. Pretty big loss to UNLV, but then they won their conference tournament. They played well most of the season, so I don't know. It's just one of those things that they play. They didn't play a great non-conference schedule, and then they got to the Mountain West, which hasn't been great. So I don't think anybody's really thinking about them. That could be a little scary in that sense. And certainly, you know, if they can get past Villanova, they'll have some momentum, and you know, it'll be a bit of an opportunity for them to, you know, a huge opportunity for them to prove themselves if they at least play well against Arizona.
Yeah, that's you know, Greg Hansen's alma mater, as I'm sure we all know, Utah State. They are favored by 1.5 points in that game. So really. Yeah. Pretty much a coin flip, as you'd expect from most 8-9 matchups. And that game is a half hour after Arizona and LIU are done.
Right.
So our game is at 10:35 a.m. It's the same time there as it is here this time of year. And then the approximate tip-off for Villanova and Utah State is 1:10 p.m. As Justin has dropped out on us here, Bruce, I don't know where he went. Hopefully he'll be back shortly. But so tell us about
problem.
Yeah, right. Right. Tell us about your experiences as a reporter covering like the first opening weekend of an NCAA tournament. What is it like? Do you like the fact that there's more access than you usually get? Do you find it exciting still to kind of be in the building for this kind of big event?
Oh yeah, it's terrific. I mean, I think the access is terrific because, again, like I was saying, you can talk to anybody, which, you know, just makes for better stories. It just does. I don't think that most people reading realize that or whatever, but I have gotten feedback. Sometimes people say, oh, it's the same stuff. I'm seeing the same people. Well, that's because if there's just two guys at the podium, they put the video out there and then there's people there to get it. Everybody gets the same stuff. But, you know, you can get a lot more depth with the reporting. And then I think, you know, the games, obviously, the atmosphere is really interesting. I think the only thing not that I don't like it, but I think the only thing that's missing, frankly, is the campus atmosphere. You have the bands and the cheerleaders. They have their little sets, but it's not the same as going to, you know, a place like Iowa State or even K-State or whatever, where you have the students lining up in 20 degrees to get in the building. They're camping out overnight. And there's, you know, they really care. I think you lose that in the NCAA tournament. I don't even think that there are usually even student tickets for some of them. So it's mostly just, you know, alums that are going. And so and they can get crazy, but it's not the same as a home game. So you just lose a little bit that way. But, you know, there's more at stake. And then, you know, so then. I think, and this won't be the case with Arizona's game, but sometimes you get those situations where you're in a two-game set on the ticket with somebody else. Like, say, if UCLA was on that set, you'd have a bunch of UCLA fans that might kind of stumble in at halfway through Arizona's game or maybe sometime in the first half, go get a beer or whatever, and they come sit down. They don't care. So, you know, there's no atmosphere in the arena when that kind of happens. In this situation, I don't think there'll be many fans for Villanova or Utah State. I think it'd be mostly Arizona fans in there for both of those games. And so it should be pretty good. But by and large, you can miss that sometimes, I think.
Justin, you're back.
I'm back. Sorry, fellas. My computer decided to just go nuts and just collapse. So now we're back. I appreciate you guys for holding it down. One thing I was going to ask you guys, so I don't know, you know, Bruce, if you fill out brackets or whatnot, but let's just assume we're all picking Arizona to go to the Final Four.
I'm doing that. Actually, I'm stuck. Honestly, I've got Arizona and Gonzaga, and I'm like, okay, what the hell? I don't know. Okay.
Well, outside of
or Matt.
That, the West region, who else do you envision getting to the Final Four? And which of the Big 12 teams do you think can get to the Final Four?
You want me to go first, Bruce, or you?
Yeah, go ahead. Anyway.
All right, I'm gonna go very Big 12 heavy here. I'm gonna pick Iowa State. I'm gonna pick, they're in the Midwest. I'm gonna pick Houston to come out of the South, and I'm gonna pick Duke to come out of the East. Do I have the regions right? Those yep. ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be three out of the four coming out of the Big 12. Probably just because the very fact that I'm predicting this means that it's very unlikely to happen. And that would, okay. Now I got to look and see.
A field day if that happened.
He'd be great. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, the semifinal matchups in that case would be Houston against Duke and Arizona versus Iowa State round three.
Yep.
So obviously.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. Yes. And then I would say Duke against Arizona in the finals because that would be the best narrative and storyline. We love narratives and storylines. And then Arizona beats Duke and wins the national championship for the second time ever and the first time since 1997. And all the demons are exorcised.
I think that's literally a dream scenario that, right, I think every Arizona fan would want to see play out like that. Maybe there's some Arizona fans that would be like, I don't want to even see Duke. But to beat them there in Indianapolis, yeah, there's just so many things about it. 25 years of the Final Four, almost 30 since a championship. Yeah, there's a lot. But that is getting ahead of ourselves. There is, you know, there's still a lot of things that could happen, obviously.
Assume nothing.
even as versatile and amazing as Arizona has been this year, you never know. But your picks are interesting because I'm wondering about, let's say you assume the favorites play out in the Midwest. That means Iowa State beats Michigan. How do you see that happening? Or have you
one of the themes coming into the tournament is that some of these top teams have lost players to injury.
Yeah.
Right. Like Michigan lost one of its rotation guards.
Yeah.
Duke lost one of its starting guards, might get its starting center back. Texas Tech lost its best player, who I think JT Toppin, I think would have been the Big 12 player of the year if he hadn't gotten injured. North Carolina is just like totally off the radar now, not even a consideration for much of anything after losing Caleb Wilson. So, you know, you don't want that to happen to anyone, right? Like, I think I mentioned this in the column, like from a karma standpoint, like you don't wish that on your opponents. But if you just take a step back and look at it, it puts someone like Arizona in an advantageous position with Jaden Bradley seemingly being okay and their eight guys being in good health heading into the tournament.
Yeah. I was going to say that was another reason why I was skeptical about the new court that they brought in for the Big 12 tournament. I was like, I know Ivan Karchenkov vouched for it and said, "Oh, it's a good playing surface," but I was like, oh man, I've seen too many really good Arizona teams deal with those kind of injuries. Like with Brandon Ashley going down, I'm like, is this court going to be the reason why Arizona doesn't win a national championship?
That's why they got rid of it.
I mean,
they got rid of it after the semifinal. Christian Anderson hurting his groin. That was the clinching moment, I think.
Did you walk on the court at all,
Bruce? Yeah. And I felt it to see what it, you know, how it felt. It seemed okay to me. I don't know. And some guys said it actually had more give. They kind of liked that a little bit. Didn't seem like the lights really bothered people too much. Although we were talking just off camera about the free throw shooting against what game was that? UCF.
UCF game. Yeah.
And I wonder if something about the floor, because they do those weird things when you're shooting free throws, some of the lights come up or whatever. And also there was some talk that they overinflated the balls to compensate. I don't know if that's true, but maybe that affected their shooting. But anyway, but yeah, it was weird. And they got rid of it. It was, it struck me as that's something that maybe you'd do for like an MTE or something in November and test it out or something, but to have it in a conference tournament, which not that the conference tournament itself matters, but like you said, it's really all about the NCAA tournament, because you can make a case for Iowa State, Arizona, you know, even Houston, Kansas. Nobody needs to be there, and they've got to play NCAA tournament games that are do or die in the following week. Do they want to risk getting hurt? You know, and so I tried to ask Tommy Lloyd about that, about the Jaden Bradley thing. Like, you know, you got to imagine you're sitting there thinking, okay, we're playing in San Diego in 6 days, and Jaden Bradley just goes out and it looks like he might have broken his hand. I don't know. Maybe you're looking at that thinking, darn, you know, do you really even want to be in this game? And if you had lost to Iowa State, you wouldn't even be playing. It wouldn't be an issue. And so there's all these things that these conference tournaments are really insane like that. You just, you know, in Arizona, the classic example was 3 years ago, Arizona got Umar Ballo and Kirk Risa both hurt. And then they tried to play on, and boom, 4 days, 5 days later, they lose to Princeton. And that had almost everything to do with the fact that they had to play a Pac-12 tournament and got guys banged up.
Yeah.
It's just, and then you add, like you said, then you add a slippery floor that's not fully vetted. And like, yeah, it's, but I think to Yormark's credit, and Lloyd called him out for this, is, you know, he was, strong enough to at least admit that it didn't work out and they were going to make the change, and boom, you go in there Friday and they already had that floor out. They did it right overnight, no problem, and the old floor was back.
I was like, kudos to him for being prepared, right? He could have been stubborn about it, be like, no, this is our playing surface. Yeah. That's it. For him to like survey the coaches and the programs and say, hey, do you guys like it? And majority of them said no. So he's like, okay, deal. New court coming in, and they replaced it. I mean, I think the fact that he can show that kind of humility, I think, says a lot about
him. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think he did. You know, we don't know exactly what behind the scenes. It could have been like, if you could have been, I don't think Grant McCaslin would do this. He seems like too nice a guy or whatever. But if I was Grant McCaslin, I'd be going to Brett saying, change that floor now. You just, because if you think about it, potentially Christian Anderson, maybe he comes back and he's fine, but you could make the case that if Christian Anderson is completely hurt and out for the NCAA tournament, they lose a game. They lose a first round game. They don't even have a chance to get the Sweet 16 or Final Four, which not only looks bad for the conference, but also costs them money because you get money every game that every team advances gets a whole pot of money into the Big 12. Like, you can't mess around with the conference tournament. It has to be safe and, you know, as safe as possible, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I feel like there was a final floor pun opportunity that was missed out of that whole situation, Bruce, but I know you had a lot going on. Justin, what's your final four? What you got?
Oh man. My final four, I'm going to go with Arizona coming out of the West. I think, you know, there will be some challenges along the way, but I think they prevail. I love the fact that they can go on a revenge tour and beat Wisconsin and, you know, match up against a team like Gonzaga. So I got Arizona coming out of the West. Coming out of the Midwest, you know, as much as I would love to pick Iowa State, I just think Michigan, next to Arizona and Duke, they've been, you know, the most dominant team in college basketball. And then on the other side, you know, I hate to go with three number ones here, but I've got Duke coming out of the East, and then down south, I'm going to go with the Houston Cougars. So I'm not going chalk all four number one seeds, but I got three number one seeds, and then I got the Houston Cougars. That's my
yeah, really pick. Potentially juicy matchup in the South, also with Illinois possibly facing Houston. Not only a lot of history with Illinois, certain current point guard of Illinois has some ties to Arizona. That's another team that's got a lot of really good international players. I'm sure Tommy could appreciate the way they recruited Eastern Europe to build that team. So that's another one to keep an eye on if you want that kind of revenge tour concept to play out. Bruce, do you have a Final Four for us?
Actually, one of the best games on the Sweet 16, if that happens. I haven't finished yet, but I mean, I do feel like you can't go these three teams. I mean, if you're playing the odds or whatever, which if you're billing out a bracket, you know, you might want to pick a few upsets here or there. But, you know, last year, all number ones made it. And we're seeing now there's not even really a Cinderella anymore. Usually we'll see maybe one emerges this year. But I think with NIL, it's sort of like the better teams have gotten even more separation between them and the others. So I just feel like there's a lot of reasons to go chalky, as you say, with this. So I don't know. I had Duke being UConn in the East. That could probably, you know, I like both those teams there. That could go either way, obviously, you know, and then Houston over Florida, just because if nothing else, you know, they've got veterans reasons to get back there. And then that game will be played in Houston. And I think that does make a difference. I really do. So there's that. In fact, if I was Florida, I'd be a little bit upset about if you get to that game and then you have to play somebody else in their hometown. That's a tough one. So
what are the odds that Sean Miller and the Texas Longhorns,
you know, I was going to say
standing in the way of Arizona.
They got to play that playing game, but that's an upset potential situation. That team and the way he coaches, and
because they got to play BYU.
Yeah, but BYU, as we know, is not real deep, and you know, maybe they can do something with Devonta, or maybe Devonta has an off night, and then I don't know that much about Texas, but it wouldn't surprise me. In fact, I have Texas beating BYU in this bracket here. I'm just doing it for fun with my family, but then Gonzaga beating them after that. But they could definitely go there. Then it's just a little bit of a fatigue thing, though. The problem with that is that you play that playing game, you have some momentum, you can win that first round game after your playing game, but then you get to that second round game on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, that's tough. And so I don't know. I'd still go with Gonzaga. So I think it'd be Arizona and Gonzaga. And, you know, that's just going to be – you talk about storylines. Boy, oh, boy. Man, so I'd have to go with the three teams that have been dominant all year. You'd say Duke, Michigan, Arizona, and then I think Houston because of the, the coaching, the toughness, the seniors they have, and playing in Houston. So that would be my final four. But I do think Iowa State is pretty scary. I think that's why I asked Lev, because I think that Michigan, that potential of Michigan-Iowa State being in, what would that be, Chicago? Where is that one? You know, that's just going to, that could be really something. So, but it's tough to pull against Michigan. I know they had the injury and they lost in their conference tournament, but, you know, for the most part, they've been just killing people.
As a fellow Northwestern grad, Bruce, it should not be difficult for you to pull against Michigan at all. We should.
Yeah, you know, try. But that's the thing. It's always tough with NU and also Arizona every year just to evaluate them. And, like, because I see Arizona too much, and then I went to NU, so, you know, my son went there. I'm like, okay, so I got all these, you know, these things. But you try and look at it objectively, and, yeah, you're right. Michigan, yeah. Although, you know, when we went there, I know certainly they weren't much of a factor in basketball, so it wasn't really – a thing to think about. I think there was one year they got to the NIT and everybody was excited.
I saw the Fab Five in person.
Yeah, so that was great. I think I had just left. Yeah. So they weren't quite that factor, but I think Indiana was still a big deal. And then you know, Illinois, etc., Wisconsin was always something. But yeah, but Michigan didn't have all those. Yeah, that team quite yet. I think
bring back the big baggy shorts.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, guys, is there a non-Arizona storyline that you're kind of rooting for? Is there like a Cinderella or a team? I love the fact that Idaho, I mean, they're going to get absolutely killed by Houston, but Idaho, they're making the tournament for the first time since 1990. And then I don't know if you guys have seen this this forward that plays for St. Louis. He used to play at Indiana State. His name is Robbie Avila. They call him Larry Blur. He's got the goggles on. He's awesome, man. He's got the ultimate dad bod out there playing basketball at a high level. There's a lot of interesting stories. Hawaii is in the NCAA tournament for the first time in a decade. I thought that was really cool. What about you guys?
I would say a couple things intrigue me. One is Nebraska going for their first ever win in the NCAA tournament. Very three-point reliant team, so there's always a lot of variance with those kind of squads. And then, like, it's not a Cinderella by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just like, I do not know what to make of this Kansas team. Like, they seem to have so much talent. Like, it would not shock me if they lost in the first round. It wouldn't shock me if they made it to the Final Four.
Yep.
Right. Like, I think there's any number of outcomes with a team that just, for whatever reason, has just not come together over the course of mm-hmm. the entire season.
That's one of my rare upset picks is Cal Baptist.
Oh, the Lancers.
We'll see. Yeah. I've been wrong a lot, though. So I don't know. I agree with you, Lev. Kansas, you don't know. You just don't know.
No clue.
They do have a lot of talent. And if nothing else, they got Badungo, who's pretty consistent. And, you know, it's hard to get a shot off on that dude. So that, you know, they should survive at least a couple games with nothing. With just him, you never know. And then if that team comes together, they could do well. But they also could flop. It's just a weird team. Yeah.
There's also in the East the potential for a second round matchup between UCLA and UConn, which would pit Mick Cronin against Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
The angriest game ever.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
The game is just so angry.
Your buddy Mick Cronin.
My guy, Mick Cronin. Oh my gosh. I'd expect nothing less.
It could be UCF. That's the question, right? That's a tough 7-10 game, man. UCLA and UCF.
Yeah, I'm going with UCF. Even though UCF hasn't been playing their best basketball to end the season, that's my upset. I'm going with the Knights. But I think that's might be a little Big 12 favoritism. All right.
That's gonna be a weird crowd. By the way, I think that
UCF, UCLF,
Philly, right?
Oh yeah, UCF, UCLA, and Philly.
Weird vibe.
Oh yeah. Man, a lot of Mick Cronin people will be there. All right,
probably a lot of. What is the other game there? Oh, UConn. It'll be all UConn fans sitting there.
Anyway. Yeah,
just be sitting on their hands watching the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be quiet.
All right, it's gonna be a fun one. Out here in San Diego for the first round of the NCAA tournament. Arizona will be taking on Long Island in the 16-1 matchup. Huge thank you to Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union, whether you're saving for your first car, buying a home or growing your business, Pima Federal puts your goals first. They offer personalized solutions, competitive rates, and expert guidance every step of the way. Because at Pima Federal, banking isn't just about money, it's about you. Learn more at PimaFederal.org. And also learn more about Arizona basketball and the NCAA tournament by going to Tucson.com and the Wildcaster mobile app. We've got our NCAA tournament special section that will be coming out. Or has it already? When is
Wednesday.
It come out?
Wednesday's print edition.
Yeah. So if you're listening between now and then, make sure you get a copy of Wednesday's Arizona Daily Star. And if you don't get a copy, don't worry. It's all on Tucson.com, all on the Wildcaster mobile app, your one-stop shop for all things Arizona Wildcats content. Make sure you download that off the App Store and Google Play. And make sure you subscribe to the Wildcast on Apple and Spotify. And we'll see you guys next time.
It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you. Now taxes is so free. Love that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.